Ready?
I'm ready. Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I am the ghost of Shannon Curtis.
And I am Count Jamie Hill.
Oh my God.
That was very good production value.
It was very good, yes.
Wow. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Misfit Stars.
So Halloween is in 4 days. Woo!
Yeah, this is the Halloween Spooktacular edition.
I see.
2020, yes. Misfit Stars. Mm-hmm. We're happy to have you here, people. Later on in this episode, we are going to be talking about how to steel ourselves for this cursed election.
How will we steel ourselves in this last remaining week? Like, jeez. We got to do it. We got to figure out how we're going to get through.
Shannon has thoughts.
We're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
People, Misfit Stars is a community-centered endeavor. And as always, we would love to invite you, if you have not already, to join us.
Yeah.
You can go to misfitstars.com/join and you can become part of sort of our inner circle. And the inner circle, we have a hangout. It's like a clubhouse.
It's the circle of trust.
It's a circle of trust, but less weird.
And also Robert De Niro is not in it.
I wish. So,
I know.
Oh my gosh.
Yet.
I would let him
Yet.
Be in. He wouldn't even have to pay dues.
Right. Totally.
If you're listening, Mr. Yeah. De Niro. Let me know. I'll make you a voucher code.
Oh my gosh.
We have a private Facebook group, people, is what I was getting at here.
Yes.
And it's amazing. We all have these amazing conversations in there. And the reason they're amazing is because...
The people are amazing.
Yeah. And it's you. It's people like you. It's people who have self-selected themselves in, who have said, I want to be part of a smaller group dynamic with other like-minded, good-hearted people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have like-minded, good-hearted conversations in there.
We do.
And so that's that. It has been a wonderful source of support for me and for Shannon and for, I think, a lot of other people over this last, like, couple of months.
Yeah.
You know, people are feeling raw and they are feeling like they can talk in a vulnerable way about raw stuff in the Misfit Stars private Facebook group, and that means a lot.
Yeah.
It's been really great.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, just seeing people who didn't know each other before from different parts of the country or the world.
Yeah.
Just being there for each other in really open-hearted ways, like, what do you need? How can I help?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it's what people should be like.
It is.
It's so good.
It is good.
If you want that in your life, go to misfitstars.com/join. We would love to have you in. It's a way for you to help support us via small dollar recurring monthly support pledges, I guess you could
mm-hmm.
say. It's a patronage community and you can get into it. So misfitstars.com/join. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Do you have any announcements, Shannon?
Announcements, announcements, announcements. Oh no.
Yeah. Today they're spooky announcements.
Uh-huh. They are. Lots to be scared about. So I sang that announcement song last week, and then it was so great in our Misfit Stars group. My friend Lizzie, who's a Misfit Star,
yeah,
and with whom I went to elementary school.
Oh my gosh, that's
and
so
therefore
great.
Went to science camp,
yep.
with... She's like, oh my gosh, I think I heard that we heard that at science camp. And she's totally right.
Oh my gosh.
That's where we first heard the announcement song, was at science camp in sixth grade. And also, P.S., I just adore the fact that, like, I was friends with Lizzie in sixth grade.
Yeah.
And then, like, all these years later, we have reconnected as friends, and she's part of this Misfit Stars community.
Yeah.
Just...
And she's like a buddy of mine now. She's rad.
Personally speaking, just one of the, like, better parts of my existence this last couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so announcements. We do have a Halloween show on Saturday.
Yeah.
It is the last show of our And Her Whisper Becomes a Storm virtual house concert tour.
And people, you can come.
And anyone who wants to come can come. The deal is, though, you have to RSVP
yeah.
if you're going to get the secret link to join the Zoom concert, because it's a concert on Zoom.
Yeah.
You have to have the link.
Yeah.
You can't just show up without no. RSVPing.
No.
You have to RSVP. How do you RSVP, Jamie?
You send me an email. And I hear people listening to this and going, that's great. Can I text you? No. Hey, Jamie, how about a Facebook message? No. I need you to email me. I'm keeping track of this in email.
Yes.
Please email me, not Facebook message or text me,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
at jamie@secretagentaudio.com. That's jamie@secretagentaudio.com.
Right on.
That's it.
It's
going to
be great.
It.
So it's on
do
Halloween.
It
it's do it right now. We're starting the show at 6:30 Pacific time, 9:30
yep.
Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be dressed up in costume.
Yeah.
We encourage you to dress up in costume as
you
well.
You only have to dress from the chest up,
that's
people.
Right. Yeah. So, but you don't have to. If dressing up in a costume would be a burden
yeah.
too large to keep you from coming, we don't want that.
No.
We want you to be there, first of all.
Yep.
Secondly, if you have the wherewithal to get a costume together, awesome, because that would be fun.
Yeah.
But don't feel like any pressure to do that if you can't. And it's just, if you want to invite people to come, have them RSVP. Like, anyone who wants to come can do this. Usually, these are private events for our hosts and their friends and families and whatnot. This is the only public come one, come all concert of this whole tour. And it's the last time we're doing this show. And we would love to share this with you.
And you know what? If you're a parent and you have little ghosts and goblins,
oh yeah,
bring them along.
Totally.
Oh my gosh, how great. Little people have been showing up to our Zoom concerts.
I love it.
We can't have them at our real life concerts because they are, well, Zoom's kind of real life in 2020.
Well,
huh?
Sure, yeah.
We can't have them at our in-person concerts because they can be wiggly and disruptive to other people. But on a Zoom screen, no big deal. We have had a ton of little people at the show. They like it, I think. I think that the storytelling aspect of it really draws them in.
Yeah, yeah. And they can engage in the way that works for them. They can come and go and that's fine. Yeah. Because it's on Zoom, like whatever.
But so if you just want to dip in and show off your adorable little costumes and be a small distraction, please bring them. We would love
yes.
it.
Yeah. I want to see your ghosts and goblins.
Yeah.
So RSVP to Jamie, Saturday night's the show. We can't wait to see you. Do you want to do a sound because it's the Halloween show? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good. That is the totemic bell sound.
Very, it's good. I like it.
Yeah.
Spooky bell.
Yeah.
Hey, I know we're going to have a bunch of our Misfit stars at the Halloween show.
Yep.
And I can't wait to see the stars that show up. But this is a note for the Misfit stars and for whomever is thinking about maybe joining the Misfit stars.
Yeah.
Since the tour is over mm-hmm. this Saturday, mm-hmm. we now have some room, some space in our lives and our schedule to start doing some of these new ideas that we have for our Misfit Stars community.
New ideas?
New things. Whoa. Very good.
Yeah, that's the new idea sound. Spooky new ideas spooky at new. Misfit Stars. Wow.
This one goes on forever.
It's very spooky.
So we've got some new things cooking. We will be announcing it within the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that. I know that's vague booking, like big time right now. But I just want
you to
know.
It's a tease, though. That's how teases are.
Okay, yeah. That's how teases work.
Well, there's the other way that Shannon does teases is coming up after the break and then talk for 30 seconds about the thing.
Stop it.
So this is good. It was actually vague,
fine.
Like a tease should
okay,
be.
Okay, fine. Anyway, we've got some cool stuff coming up for Misfit Stars, so now will be a great time to join, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
What's the third announcement?
I have a third announcement.
What
it's
is it?
This, people, here's the deal.
What is it?
If you have not yet voted and you have a mail-in ballot, a ballot that came in the mail, mm-hmm. do not mail it in. It's too late. Do you remember how a few months ago they slowed down the USPS on yep. purpose to sabotage the election? This is where that would happen. So if you mail your thing now, like in normal years, they'd be like, yeah, no prob. It's 6 days away. We can absolutely no prob get this to where it needs to go in the same state
right.
within 6 days.
Right.
You cannot count on that now.
No.
Do not mail in your ballot. Go vote in person.
Mm-hmm. If you can.
That's the best way to do it. Second best way to do it, actually equally good, really, drop off that ballot.
That mail-in ballot.
At an official ballot place.
So,
and like in California, be careful because no kidding, the Republican Party in California, in a coordinated fashion, is putting up fake ballot box drop places.
Yes.
Where they will just take your ballot and throw it away.
There are places where you can learn where the official ballot box. Some states have ballot boxes
yeah.
that you can drop them off in. Some states don't have ballot boxes where you can drop off your vote by mail ballot. And you have to actually walk them into a like a county clerk's office or
yeah.
the elections office locally. So you're going to have to maybe do a little bit of research to figure out where you can take it. Some states allow you to take a vote by mail ballot to your polling place,
yep.
but others don't.
Yep.
So you're going to have to figure out what is allowed in your state.
You and I did that. You and I used to get, like always get the vote by mail. We were permanent vote by mail in California.
Yes.
But oftentimes, for the camaraderie and the sticker, we would go to our
yeah.
polling place and give it to them in person.
That's right.
And we
can
do it in California, I know. I can't vouch for other states.
That's right. And the rules vary by state. And actually, this whole, like, it being too late to mail your ballot is a state-by-state thing, too. Like, there are some states, like, you know, California is an example. Washington is an example
sure.
where we live. That any ballot that is postmarked by Election Day
by 8 p.m.
Will be counted.
Yeah, no
right?
matter when
doesn't
it shows
matter
up.
When it shows up, it will be counted in the official count. There are many states, however, where that's not the case. And in fact, there was a Supreme Court decision. We're going to talk about this a little bit later.
Yep.
But there was a Supreme Court decision. It went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and this very partisan,
yeah.
conservative majority on the court
yeah.
ruled that that in fact, if in the state of Wisconsin, if a ballot which was properly mailed and postmarked prior to Election Day doesn't show up until after Election Day, it will not be counted.
It's wild.
It's wild. It's totally wrong, unfair, and unconscionable that this is the way that they have decided this. But it is a form of voter suppression. They yep. don't want more people to vote, because when more people vote, conservatives
they do
don't
well.
Win. So just know this. They've signaled that this is how it's going to go down.
Yep.
So don't, it is too late to risk mailing in your vote by mail ballot in a lot of places. Assume that your state is one of those that won't count it if it's not received before Election Day.
Yep.
And take it in person to your county clerk, a local election office. You're going to have to do a little bit of research to figure this out. And if you want help, we're here to help.
Yeah.
Just message us.
We'll
help you.
We will frickin' research this for you. And then we will send you one of those let me Google that for you links to make you feel dumb. No, we will not do that.
No, we will not do that.
Unless it's really dumb, in which case I probably will. But also you'll be like, I sort of deserve that. But also thank you, Jamie.
So that sums up our announcements for the week. Very good.
Yeah.
Jamie.
Yes, Shannon.
How are you feeling today?
Well, you know, I've got the noisemaker. That's a start.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's good.
I'm feeling pretty okay today. You know, I'm actually feeling really happy right now. Tiny bit of backstory. I had to send somebody a work-related email this morning. It was a little bit stressful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Long story, very, very, very short. I've had this job that I have to do. It's a mix job to mix a record. And I've needed to delay it a little bit because of election-related stuff that we're doing.
Right.
And I had to send an email about that today, which, you know, brought up some fear kind of stuff in me, you know, some like alcoholic kind of control issue kind of stuff, you know? But then I also just kind of like was able very quickly to realize that actually what I can just do is I can just like communicate in the kindest, clearest way that I'm able.
Yeah.
And then I can let go of the results.
Yeah.
And it was like an epiphany. I was like, I can just let go of this actually.
Yeah.
No, I can't control what happens next. And so I should probably stop trying to do that. And I actually felt very unburdened for the rest of the day and still do.
Oh, good.
So that was good. I've been sort of celebrating that. It's these little things when you're doing like sobriety that like, you're like, hey, that's a new skill. And it's great, you know?
Yeah.
Like learning like basic adult life skills at age 48.
It's good.
That's good. So that was good. I feel good about that. I feel very good about the volunteer work that you and I are doing.
Uh-huh.
That's a constant source of joy. It's a constant source of joy on the merits. It's also a constant source of joy because of the two wonderful humans with whom we are working
it's
on
great.
This.
It's great, yeah.
It's just, it's great. They're wonderful people. I'm having a lovely time just kind of having this random job for like 2 months with them.
I know.
It's really
it's
great.
Really good.
I'm also looking forward to, you know, no longer having that job because as much as I love it, like it's a job and I'm used to not having a job.
That kind of a job. A job that involves like spreadsheets. Oh no, what am I saying? You're in spreadsheets all the time
all
for
the time.
Our work.
No, it's you know what it is. It's the be here at this time, work really, really, really hard. It feels like a huge mountain on top of you.
Yeah.
You don't quite get enough done and you stop at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's that aspect of it. You know what I mean? It's
except like, for you also do that with music. Like work.
Yeah, but it's different with music.
I know it is. Yeah. I know. I'm happy to be doing it too, and it makes me feel good as well.
Yeah.
So you're doing good.
I feel like
saying.
I'm doing pretty good. How about you? How are you feeling?
Also good. You know, I right before we started podcast, I had a message from one of our Misfit stars, actually. She just Facebook messaged me and was like, she's like, so how are you feeling about the election? I'm feeling scared. And so I had a moment to actually like, you know, answer her question and like work through right how I'm feeling right now. And I'm like, yeah, I'm having anxious moments too, for sure. You know, and then I decide, okay, well, I can dive back into doing more work. You know, like turning that anxiety into motivation to act, you know, is really helpful. I feel encouraged by the fact that I'm not, it's not just me showing up to do work, that there are millions of other people who are showing up to do work.
Yeah.
I feel encouraged by that. I feel encouraged by the number of people who have already voted.
Holy
like, it's
hell.
In record numbers.
So, for example, Wisconsin, our adoptive state.
Yeah.
Here is a statistic, and this is the most recent one I was able to find, and it's from a week ago, October 21st. As of October 21st, which is one day into early voting for Wisconsin, because that starts the 20th, Wisconsinites had cast slightly over 1 million ballots. That is more than one-third of 2016's total turnout for Wisconsin already in the door in one day of early voting 1 week ago.
That's wild.
We've had 7 more days of early voting since then. So like we're shattering records, at least in Wisconsin.
And I'm seeing it for other places too. I remember seeing a statistic about Texas yesterday where like I'm not going to get the stat right, but like seriously, these numbers are just through the roof with the numbers of people who are voting. So I feel encouraged by that. You know, back to the question, how am I feeling? Yeah. You know, these are a lot of external factors that are, you know, affecting how I'm feeling about stuff. I'm feeling hopeful because of the number of people who are working for the outcome we need. I'm feeling hopeful because of the people who are showing up to vote. And I feel like I'm living on that edge. I'm living on that edge of hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like we're going to get to, in the second part of today's podcast, some of the stuff that came down in the news this last week with the new Supreme Court justice,
sure,
you know, confirmation, and some of the things that caused me to fear,
yeah,
instead of hope for,
you know,
our
this isn't
country.
In your thing, but I'll tell you one.
What?
So because yesterday was my birthday, I had conversations with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we have one very dear friend who works for the FBI.
Oh.
And she was saying that she was going to be staffing, you know, an election thing.
Right.
And I was like, oh, great, we're volunteering too. She's like, no, for the FBI where I work. I was like, oh, right.
Yeah, no, I read an article that they were preparing for, you know, potential violence. And, you know, they've got to prepare for that. They do, yep. Right? And you know, I really try to not let myself linger too much on those kinds of things.
True.
Because I can't control them and, you know...
You can't control the Supreme Court stuff either, but we're going to spend like 45 minutes talking
about it. Well, it's true. I know, but at least we can influence our democracy. You know, like there are things we can do about that. If people are going to be, you know, violent or whatever, you know, after, I mean, that's not something I can do anything about.
No.
My point is that I'm not trying to.
Just an idea.
I know for my own, you know, this is the part where we're checking in with how we're feeling, right? Mm-hmm. Like I can't. I, for my own mental wellness and my own emotional health, I know that I can't allow myself to stay too long on the what ifs. And we're going to get into a little bit of that later too, at the second half of the podcast. I'm existing on that edge between hope and fear. And it's a constant choice. But right now I'm feeling okay and I'm glad for that. So
right on.
Yeah.
Good.
Experience this last week. We've been doing lots of volunteering. That's so much. It's old news at this point. If you've been listening
Team
to this podcast,
you
know that we're doing that. But it's been a really rewarding process to be part of.
Yeah. It's really neat. So we're at the point now where some of these people whom we have been nurturing, in some cases for 2 months, like there are some people here in the poll observer system now who, like you or I, mm-hmm. like we were the first person ever to make a cold call to them from Wisconsin Democrats.
Right.
And we got them on the phone. We're like, hey, would you be interested in being a poll observer? We talked to them about what it was about. We got them interested. We got them signed up. They made it through the training. There's a mandatory training. There's a mandatory dress rehearsal. People attrition at every step of this.
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes, you and I were the people calling them back to shepherd them through these processes also.
Confirming them for training.
And now, I'm talking to some of these people, either confirming them for their first poll observer shift or talking to them after they have done their first poll observer shift.
Yeah.
And they're so stoked and it's so exciting. And it's so neat to see this process working at every step and to have been involved at every step
in that way.
It's so rewarding. Like one person that I think you had signed up originally, like stopped some voter disenfranchisement a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
That's something that we made directly happen in this house. A person we called on the phone made it so that somebody in Wisconsin who otherwise would not have been able to vote was able to vote because they spotted someone doing shenanigans.
Yeah.
How great.
It's so cool.
It's really encouraging.
It's very cool.
This is the stuff that's making me feel kind of like actually okay right
uh-huh.
now, you know?
Just yeah.
Knowing that there's literally not a single thing more that you or I could be doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's good. That's the way I want it to be.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And then you had a birthday yesterday.
I did. I'm 48 now, people.
How do you feel about that?
Good.
Good.
I feel good. I'm closer to 50 than any other reasonable number you could compare it to. The only thing I'm not closer to 50 than is 47. That would be a dumb thing to compare it to because I was just 47. But like, if you think about 45, well, I'm definitely closer to 50 than that. You wouldn't really compare it to 46.
Oh, so you're talking about like in 5-year increments or something?
I'm talking about any reasonable increment. I think 5 is probably the smallest you could have that would be
49
reasonable.
49 is closer to 50 than 48.
Yeah, but who really says, hey, how close are you from 48? I mean, that's not really a thing. I don't know. It's just a
okay.
thought.
Okay.
It's a, point being, I'm basically 50.
You're pretty much 50.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's interesting, right? Like I'm no longer in my mid 40s. There's no plausible way that I could be like, I'm sort of in my mid 40s. Okay. Because when you're 47, you're not in your mid 40s, you're in your late 40s. If you think about how those numbers should sort of be broken up into little groups and in increments of 10, you know? Uh-huh. But you can kind of sometimes cheese it and be like, 47 is basically like 46, which is right by 45, so I'm mid-40s. But it's not true, but you can kind of do it. But now I'm definitively late 40s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way around it.
No.
And also, I don't want there to be a way around it because I'm happy, you know?
Okay, good.
Like, the older I get, I think the happier I get.
That's good.
Yeah, and the more, like, at peace with myself I feel. So those are all good things,
that
you know?
That's good.
I reject wholeheartedly this weird fetishization of youth.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I think that's weird. I think it's creepy. I think it's really inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know? And deeply unhealthy.
You know, I feel like the fetishization of youth, I'm really
nice.
I'm proud of myself right now.
Yeah. Fetishization.
I feel like the fetishization.
Two shiz, one's a... It's hard.
You know, I feel like that impulse... probably stems in large part because of people's fear of death.
Sure.
And wanting to remove themselves from that eventuality as much as possible.
Sure.
You know?
People, you can say you're 29 for every birthday after 30 for the rest of your life. You're still going to die.
But you know, you and I were, you shared an article with me last week that was really interesting about how the ancient Greeks used psychedelics and
yes.
ritual ceremonies.
Yes.
Using naturally occurring psychedelics.
Mushrooms.
It was mushrooms, right?
Yeah. And there were others too. I think there was there's a mold spore, and I forget exactly what it is. Like, if I said the name, you'd be like, I can't think of it, but yes.
But like, the ceremonies that they used to have was a once in a lifetime ceremony, like a rite of passage kind of ceremony that the Greeks participated in with this. And it really brings to mind when I have heard people share their experiences with doing like work with shamans,
like ayahuasca stuff.
Yeah. You know, and guided meditations using, guided meditations and ritualistic sort of, you know,
using psychedelics.
And the way that they described this, the purpose of and the result of this ceremony in ancient Greece, was that people had an experience of the continuity of life, and they got a glimpse of after death, you know, whatever that looks like. And I haven't participated in something like this, but it was so interesting to me. And that this experience of having that view for even just a short time of
a revelation,
that frame of things,
completely
changed how they viewed life
and how
they viewed death, and therefore how they approached every other aspect of how they organized their society, which was so interesting.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
our puritanical society has totally outlawed that.
Right. Right.
Wouldn't want people having insight into their personal condition.
The reason that the article came up though was because there are some states that are exploring the decriminalization of these things for this express purpose.
Of magic mushrooms specifically.
Yeah, but like there's other stuff like this that's really useful in healing like depression.
Oh,
and like they're using, you know, other kind like the ketamine therapies that they've been developing.
We have a buddy who just went on a ketamine infusions and she experienced a profound immediate change.
But it's a similar sort of thing. Like I've read about this before. It's not just like you take a drug.
Yeah.
It is, you use the substance and then there's guided work that you do. And so it's very similar, I think, in ways to that ancient Greek. And the article, you know, pointed to the ketamine thing too. Very similar to the ancient Greek stuff.
Yeah.
But, I'm interested in this idea of like exploring the idea of getting more comfortable with death and, you know,
on a societal level.
Yes, but as a way of becoming more happy as a human, as individuals, and also maybe as a way of creating a better society with each other, you know? Very interesting.
Absolutely. It's really wild, right? Like the people who lived on this land before we took it from them knew all this stuff.
Right.
They knew all of it. They had all these same rituals, these same types of rituals embedded in their society and had going back thousands and thousands of years.
Millennia.
And That's what thousands of years are. And we took their land and we basically more or less did the best we could to eradicate them as a people and came in here with these ideas like, well, no, we silly Indians, we know best, right? And also, we don't know best.
Right.
We don't know better than that at all.
Right.
We have this really weird canned authoritarian idea of religion. Right? Mm-hmm. Which we have replaced spirituality with. And it is so wild to me that we're like, oh, this is vastly superior than what those savages were doing. Right? Mm-hmm. When the people they're calling savages were like actually the ones who had their shit together.
They've been doing fine for a long time without westernized stuff coming in.
It's just appalling to think about. Yeah. So deeply mortifying. And also like, what if we had just tried to learn from these people and maybe gently integrate ourselves, you know? Mm-hmm. That would have been neat. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen.
I'm so with you on that. This reminds me of a part of our drive that we did yesterday for your birthday. Mm. We took a drive around the sort of Hood Canal, Olympic Peninsula to, you know, try to get some fall colors. And it was a gorgeous day.
Yeah.
Blue sky, clear, just so pretty. Just a pretty, pretty day. And we did this drive last week, like exactly a week ago. And when it was cloudy. Yeah. And rainy, and still was a really fun drive to do. Same drive in reverse order, but you know, on a sunny day. And we saw this sign last week, and we saw it again yesterday as we passed by. It was like, you know, left turn here, you know, Mount Walker viewpoint.
Mount Walker viewpoint,
And I was like, oh, maybe there's a turnout here where we can like see Mount Walker or something. Right. That's what I thought it was.
Me too.
And then
I kind of thought the thing that we were driving beside was Mount Walker, and you could sort of drive up 100 feet and look at it.
Yeah.
It was not the case.
No, so we drove in, and there was a sign that said, 4 miles, Mount Walker viewpoint, 4 miles. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, well, sure, we've got the time. It's a day off. This is the whole point, is just to be on an adventure. So let's go. And the 4 miles was straight up.
And the road turned to dirt after the first 200 feet.
Yeah. So we're on this, like, you know, well-oiled dirt road.
Yep.
but going straight up a mountain for 4 miles. We climbed nearly 3,000 feet in elevation.
Yeah.
And when we got to the top, parked the car, and there was a little trail that you follow, not very long, which takes you out to this promontory. And as we approach the clearing at the edge of this trail, the whole Puget Sound area just like, opened up.
All right there.
All right. And I see the water first. And like all the, you know, there's Hood Canal and there's like, you can see all, you know, all these, you know, bit fingers of water that exist in the Puget Sound. And it took my breath away. And then I took a few more steps and oh my God, there's Mount Rainier.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like there it is. Like, I mean, just we're on the Olympic Peninsula. So we're like, you know, I mean, how many miles away do you think we were from Mount Rainier?
3540.
From Mount Rainier? I thought you said that.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No. I mean, we would be more like 70 or something.
But there it is. Like just being this like beacon over there on the other side of the whole Puget Sound area.
Still looking big as hell.
Just amazing. And then we take a few more steps and then what comes into view over to the left is the entire city of Seattle.
Floating in the clouds, kind of.
Like floating in the clouds.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, standing there, we were by ourselves. There was nobody else up there. And like, it wasn't quiet because the wind has this whoosh sound, you know, as we were up there. But man, I thought to myself, surely people who lived on this continent well before white people came, you know, made a point of coming up to this mountain and looking out at this.
Totally.
You know, and I...
Checking out Seattle.
That part of it. But, you know, gazing out over, you know, the whole Puget Sound area to Mount Rainier. And it felt holy.
Sure.
For lack of a better word, standing there, you know, and we had such ease getting there, just driving our car right up and, you know, walking on a pre-groomed path to find it. But I, you know, I found myself thinking about, you know, how many generations of people had stood in a spot like that and appreciated, you know, the earth and appreciated the age of the earth and appreciated their part in it in a way that I feel like we often lose touch with in our current structure of things.
Yeah. You know, and that leads into the last thing we'll have here before the break, and actually kind of a nice way. Mm. You know, it's just a random thought that I had this week, but that I just kind of wanted to put out there, because when I had it, it felt like something that I was, a thought that I was glad I had, and something I felt like I need to think about more.
Great, let's hear it.
Which was that, you know, to me, one of the, you know, there have been silver linings in this really strange time of pandemic, you know?
Yeah.
And one of them for me has been that we have been forced to confront ourselves.
Yeah.
You know? Because, like, all the stuff that we make our lives busy with has sort of been taken away.
The stuff all that
the places we go, the things we consume, the restaurants we go to habitually, the movies we go to, the you know, the venues, the shows, the clubs, all the, like, whatever the things are that we like to do, you can't really do things right now.
The stuff that we call meaning.
Yeah, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's all been taken away. And when all that stuff gets taken away, the only thing that's left is you. And you just have to confront yourself and who you are and how you feel about that by yourself without any external stimulation, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's been wonderful for me. But I'm the sort of person who appreciates an opportunity to reflect, you know?
Right.
There are also people who don't. And I had the revelation that I felt like I had is that I think that the fact of being forced to confront oneself in this time is precisely why some people are so incredibly resistant to the demands of this time.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, and I think I would be willing to bet good cash money on the idea that the people, some of the people anyway, who are the most resistant to all the stuff that we all should be doing as a healthy society.
Masking up.
To help one another through this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Social distancing, masking, just the simple, basic public health stuff.
Yeah.
The people who seem to be the most performatively opposed to it, I bet, are the people who have the most fear, terror maybe, about being forced to confront who they really are on the inside.
That's an interesting question. Yeah.
It was just a thought, but it felt like it bore thinking about, so I just thought I'd mention it.
Yeah. And when you frame it that way, honestly, I feel like I have more compassion for those folks.
Yeah.
Because a terrifying place to be. And I've been in a place like that in my life where I have been terrified to confront myself.
Oh my God, yeah.
And so, yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
This is the sound of being terrified to confront oneself. Oh, man, that's a despairing sound, right?
There is not...
But then
there's not a moment too earnest that can't be totally yucked up by a Halloween noise machine.
I prefer augmented, enhanced, perhaps. People be like, damn, that is that sound, though. That
I
was
didn't
deep.
Mean yucked up as in, like, yucky. I meant, like, yucked up as in yuck.
Oh, good, yeah. I thought you meant, like, don't yuck my yum.
No.
It was Y-U-K, not Y-U-C-K.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm tracking with you. Got it.
Very good. Hey, yeah. So we're going to take a short break. And then, you know, we have, we're recording this on Tuesday, October 27th. It will come out on the 28th. From the time of this recording, we have 1 week until the election will be over. And so it's really impossible for us to not talk about the election today. We just have to. I know it's on everybody's minds. Most people, anyway.
Anyone who's talking about anything besides the election for this next week, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, it's front and center. So we're going to tackle it. And there's some big things that have been happening in the news related to it. And I've got some thoughts.
Shannon has thoughts, people. We're going to get into thoughts after this break.
Stay tuned. Of Shannon Curtis.
And Count Jamie Hill.
Count Jamie sounds so like, I don't know, like a Nick at Night version of Halloween or something.
You know what sounds even worse than that? Count Jamie Hill, which is what I just said.
But you did, but you
it's like the least count name ever.
You really, if you did Count Jameson.
Count Jameson.
There you go.
Yeah. Count Jamie is definitely more like tween, more Nick at Night.
Exactly. exactly.
Yeah, not too dangerous. It's like the Dora the Explorer of count names.
Which we watched, by the way, the live action Dora the Explorer movie last week, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. Highly recommended.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So we got to talk about some things. It's the election next week. There's stuff going on. I we've said this recently. This is not a political podcast, but here we are living in a time where if you're not paying attention to politics, like this, the very existence of our democracy is hanging in the balance, and I'm not being dramatic.
That's not hyperbolic, people. That's so literally true.
We really have to pay attention to this. And so I made sort of an outline of things that I wanted to talk about.
Great.
And the first part...
By the way, people, I want you to know. So Shannon wrote a lot of this out. She had stuff on her mind. That's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, every so often, one of us or the other will kind of take the reins for a certain episode. That's great. Uh-huh. And so she wrote a thing. And then I was like, well, don't send me the whole thing. Just send me the bullet points. Send me the short version. And she sends me like 600 words. And that's the short version. I'm not kidding. It takes up a screen and a half on my laptop. So and those are like the cliff notes.
Now they're going to tune out because they're like, what? I'm not sticking around for all this. So thanks.
Oh, it's going to be great. People.
Okay.
It's very interesting.
Okay. Good.
No, that's not, I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying Shannon has thoughts, people.
So do you, but yeah. These are just, I organize them.
Yep.
So, you know, the first thing is really just, I've come to a place where I've thought, oh, you know, people on the other side of the aisle or who think differently, that like we all have valid opinions and different viewpoints and different strategies to get to, you know, similar goals, you know, for our,
sure,
our country, our democracy. I really think that we've reached a point where the people who in leadership in the Republican Party just need to go away forever.
Yeah.
They're not bringing anything of value to the process anymore.
No,
it is
not.
It is just really devolved into raw power grab.
It's a raw power grab. That's exactly the phrase I was going to say if you hadn't come up with it yourself.
Thank you for saying that.
Raw power grab.
And here's why. Like, Trump has never been fit to serve.
Obviously.
In the White House. I mean, like, anyone who was being honest with themselves 4 years ago knew this.
Sure. They might have liked him for other reasons, but fitness as a chief executive was not one of them.
Absolutely. He has never been fit. And, I mean,
He's never been fit to run the companies of his own that he had, let alone the country.
Yes.
He ran every single one of them into the ground.
Yeah.
He is incredibly in debt to a shocking number of unknown foreign entities.
Which is a security
as a result of his
issue.
Business failings.
Yes.
As a result, that the measure of how good he is as an executive is measured in the millions negatively.
Right. Right. So he wasn't fit then. He certainly isn't fit now. He's proven for 4 years.
Remember the first couple years of his presidency when people were like, this is the moment Donald Trump finally became president. That's not true.
No.
That never happened.
It never happened. I mean, he has spent 4 years proving to us that he isn't fit. The Republican leadership has been witness to all of this.
Sure.
They've known this from the beginning. They could have at any point used their power.
Yeah.
I'm talking specifically about Republicans in Congress.
Yeah.
You know, and most specifically the Republicans in the Senate.
Yep.
Because they've been, you know, in power the entire time that Trump has been in office. They could have used their power to check him.
Yep.
They could have used their power to sideline him.
Sure.
In small and big ways in order to save, in order to serve the country.
Yep.
In order to save democracy.
Yep.
Did they do any of that at any point?
No, Shannon, they did not.
No, I mean, they completely abdicated their responsibility of being a check on the executive. This is the point of checks and balances.
Yes.
Is that when one of the three branches of government goes off the rails, the other ones can come in and check it.
Yeah.
Put it back on the rails.
Yes.
We're so off the rails.
Yes.
Like, so far off the rails. And I just, you know, like just that alone is reason to deny Republicans power in Congress from this moment on forever and ever. I mean,
at
like,
least this version. I mean,
yeah,
There could theoretically be a Republican Party version 3.0.
Maybe
I could see that. There could be a different thing that rises from it that it turns into that has like different name, like in the same way that there used to be the Whig Party in the 1800s and then there wasn't because that had to go away because it was no longer a viable thing. Like, I could see something like that happening.
Sure.
A two-party system is it's not a bad thing. I mean, for the kind of way that we have our electoral system set up, it's kind of the only viable option for how it's going to work.
I get it.
It's not a parliamentary system. There's not power sharing. Right. And when there's not power sharing, you basically devolve to two parties. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get that. That's fine. And given that that's the case, healthy opposition parties are good for the country.
Absolutely.
Because that's a form of checks and balances also.
Absolutely.
And I get all of that. It's just that this current version of the Republican Party no longer feels to me, and I think also to you, like a viable party for the health of this country.
Yes, because what they did not perform their duty in checking against a completely unfit president.
No.
Instead, what they did was they enabled him, and they lined up behind him, and they used his popularity with this rabid racist base to advance their own agenda, which is really to systematically destroy the social safety net and civil rights advancements of the last 70 years.
Yep.
And to replace those things with the unmitigated power of corporations and the wealthy.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. It's a very oil baron view of the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a very 1910s John D. Rockefeller vision for America. Like, what if the wealthy just did whatever the fuck they want?
Yes.
And the rest of you could suck it.
Yeah. Like the Senate going home today.
Yeah.
Without passing another coronavirus relief bill. Not coming back until November 9th. Bye, everybody.
Yeah. That's like, two solid more weeks that people are going to be really, really, really hurting in this country.
Rent is due again November 1st.
I right now am doing a side quest, like one of my little side quest fundraisers that I do for a friend of yours and mine who can't pay rent on the 1st of this month, 3 days from now.
Well, thanks to our community, he will be able to.
Thanks to our community, he's going to be able to. And in fact, I think maybe for like 3 months, and that's amazing. Point being, though, there are millions of people like him all across the country. The reason he doesn't have a job is because of the pandemic. He needs pandemic unemployment assistance.
Right, and Senate has gone home.
And they've gone home.
Right.
They have just abandoned people like him, and it infuriates me.
It infuriates me, too. And, on, you know, this, you know, we're going to talk in a second here about like the Supreme Court. And like since this new justice was nominated, there's been lots of talk in media about how there's this group of conservative justices on the court that have this quote unquote originalist view of the Constitution.
Which is BS.
It is total BS. It is this idea what they're calling it is that they you know are looking just at the letter of the law of the original wording of the Constitution, and that's somehow hewing to this originalist view of these of the Constitution.
If they were doing that, then there shouldn't be any women on the Supreme Court.
Well,
so
yeah.
Get the hell out of here with that.
Exactly. It's such a slick marketing cover, really, for what their aims are. The Federalist Society, which have been, you know, pumping out these originalist justices.
Yeah.
They're all about corporate power. They want businesses and corporations to be able to do whatever they want, treat their workers however they want, treat the environment however they want, you know, low wages, whatever, we don't care. You know, it's a bottom line is profit, profit, profit to benefit.
Low wages are for poor people. The point is don't be poor.
Exactly, right. And also they want these originalist types want to undo all of the civil rights legislation and court rulings from the last 70 years. So, you know, We celebrate the fact that the Supreme Court legalized interracial marriage decades ago, right? This is the kind of stuff that originalists want to see done away with.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, like, interracial marriage is going to be overturned, but
Gay
marriage might be. Women's bodily autonomy is on the chopping block.
Yep.
You know, like, so it's really, you know, That's the point. And so when it comes to like support for the Republican Party, anybody who's got reasonable sounding reasons why they have supported the Republican Party, oh, because I'm pro-life or because I'm pro-family or because I'm pro-military or because I'm small government.
Or bizarrely pro-Israel.
Yeah, bizarrely. Exactly. All of those reasons, if that's your reason, I'm here to tell you, you've been rolled.
Yeah.
You have been absolutely fooled and used.
Played for a sucker. I'm sorry to be the one to break this to you.
Totally. You know, like, I just, they don't stand, Jared Yates Sexton, he's a writer and political analyst. I follow him on Twitter. He put it very succinctly. last night. He said, the Republican Party needs to go away. None of their espoused principles are real. They're not fiscally or socially conservative. They're not pro-life or pro-troop or pro-small government. Their only real principle is raw, unprincipled pursuit of power at all cost.
Yeah, that's right.
They have shown that to us. When somebody shows themselves to you, believe them. They have shown this to us over and over and over, especially in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's incredibly maddening.
But also people, to be super clear, this has been going on since like, basically yes. the entirety of Shannon's in my life.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, I'm 48. This started about 48 years ago.
This movement.
The seeds of this yeah. movement were planted with Nixon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Nixon was in office when I was born.
Right.
And really that was the beginning of it. This is what you and I have known our entire life.
Right.
And you know, anyone our age or younger, in a way, this is kind of normal feeling probably. Right? Because it's all just been a natural evolution from one point to the next point. Mm-hmm. It has been a very sustained project for the last like almost five decades.
Right.
You know? But people, it's not natural. It's not the way things should be or have to be. There doesn't right. have to be a group of people, a ruling minority in this country that does shit like this.
Right.
Against the overwhelming wishes of a vast majority of the population. Mm-hmm. It's not like this is a broadly popular point of view that these people are taking,
no.
and you and I are the minority here. You and I, our positions are uncontroversially and incontrovertibly the majority.
Right.
By wide, wide margins. We're talking 60-40 kind of stuff here,
yeah.
people.
Yeah. You know,
like a 50%
yeah.
margin. You know
yes.
what I mean? And yeah, sure, sure. If there's still like 40% of the people in this country that agree with the other position, yeah, that's still like 125 million people. That's a lot of people. It's not insignificant. But I'm sorry, I'm getting worked up.
Fetishization.
Dang. She can say fetishization.
Can you say insignificant fetishization?
No, can
no.
you?
No. Anyway, it's an insignificant number compared to the majority.
Yeah,
yeah,
it really
it's
is.
Not insignificant, you were saying, but it is small
yeah.
compared to the majority. Yes, and you know, it's not like the majority view is trying to like is in support of policies that like will be harmful to the minority.
No, we're the ones who want to do the good shit.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the illustration of this imbalance of power and the imbalance of who has power based on support and all that came into some stark relief yesterday when Amy Coney Barrett.
I think you have to say all three.
Do I have to say all three?
It might be like if you took my name's Janet Curtis Hill, it might be like that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Great.
I don't care either.
I will never use initials for her name because that was an RBG thing and nobody gets that.
Yeah, that's...
Nobody gets that.
That's baloney.
It is
I've
baloney.
I've said shit too many times, yeah, so I'm okay. not going to say bullshit. It's baloney.
So anyways, when they approved Amy Coney Barrett's position on the Supreme Court yesterday, which, holy moly, what the actual heck? Like... What an absolutely illegitimate process.
Yeah.
Like, she shouldn't be on the court
no.
for so many reasons.
No.
She's not qualified to be on the court.
No.
What were you saying? She's never tried a case?
She's never tried a case. She's, I forget what the three things are, but like, yeah, she's never tried a case. For starters, there shouldn't be anything more than that that you would need to say about someone. Like, when they're thinking about being a Supreme Court justice. Oh, you've never tried a case, huh? You definitely cannot be a judge then.
She's never argued a case
Maybe
before
that's one
a
of
court.
Them. Maybe that's one
She's,
of them.
She served as a judge for just the last, 3 years? She's been a judge for 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason she was picked was because she came out of this Federalist Society. And I imagine they thought that it was going to, you know, look good for them to pick a woman also, maybe?
Yeah.
You know?
It's one of those really cynical, like, inoculations against criticism from the left.
Yes.
Like, because then if anyone on the left criticizes, they'll be like, what, you don't want a woman?
What, are you not a feminist?
Yeah, no, literally, like, they say shit like
I
that.
I know.
It's so, like... It's like seventh grade smarts. It's like when a 12-year-old thinks they're being clever, but you're like, I'm 48. It's exactly like that.
I'm four times your age.
Yeah.
I'm
and
four
ten
times...
times smarter than
yeah.
you.
Yeah. The whole, the rushedness of the process. I mean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg died 38 days ago.
Jeez.
And here we are. You know, like, and in... especially given the fact that in 2016, mm-hmm. Barack Obama nominated Merrick Garland. I mean, we don't have to rehash all this, but like...
No, please not.
The Senate Republicans said, oh, no, no, we can't even give this guy a hearing because it's an election year, even though it was 7 months prior to the election at that point. Here, they had no qualms about rushing this through. Again, and rushing it through as a priority above everything else, including giving Americans coronavirus relief who desperately need it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just illegitimate up and down. Like, there's no, there's just, it has all the signs of just a raw power grab. Well, like, that's all it is.
And it's funny, in your notes here, it says GOP breaking their own quote-unquote rules to rush her through.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the quote-unquote is exactly the point of it, right? Like, that's the whole point. And it's not an accident that they're doing this. It's not that they're just making stuff up as they go along. It's that the entire point in an authoritarian system is to... let people see the fuck you of it. You know what I mean? The dissonance to be like, we're going to do this time, and then we're going to do this other completely opposite thing the other time.
And you can't stop us.
A thing about it.
Yeah.
That's the point of
it.
It's not the raw like power grabbing of it. It's a raw exercise
that's
of power.
That's a really interesting point. So taking what you just said about that, I'm going to do it this way this time, and I'm going to do it that way tomorrow, and you can't stop me.
Yeah.
That mentality... combined with the mentality that we see, and it's not a mentality, their actions that we see all the time about how they do just corrupt, shady crap.
Yeah.
And then turn around and accuse people who are not guilty of those things of doing the same stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
This is abuser behavior.
Yes,
and
it is.
I am sick and tired of being abused by the Republican Party. I will not be abused by these people anymore. We need to decide as a nation that we're not going to be abused anymore by these people. This is what abusers do. Abusers shift their tactics and dare you to challenge them. You know, they shift their you know, throwing around their power and dare you to challenge them. They then blame you point the finger at other people.
For
the stuff they do. They victimize themselves. Yeah. That whole Darvo thing, right? What is that? The deflect.
Look it up. I will look it up. Darvo. What is Darvo? Darvo stands for deny, attack, and reverse victim and offender.
Yep.
RVO is reverse victim and offender, and that's exactly the last thing you're talking about.
Totally.
Yeah.
The Republican Party has been Darvoing us forever. You know, and like, I'm just tired of it. You know, and the fact of the matter is that they don't, the Senate that approved Amy Coney Barrett yesterday do not represent anywhere close to a majority of Americans. Vox had this statistic last night the 48 senators who voted against Barrett last night represent 13.5 million more people than the 52 senators who voted for her.
Wow.
It's an unsustainable imbalance.
And that's really true, too. And, like, the unsustainability also, like, that's not just, like, a rhetorical flourish.
No.
Societies can't take this kind of thing.
No.
These are pre-French Revolution conditions.
Totally. Totally. And, you know, the ramifications of her being on the court are dire.
Yeah.
They genuinely are. I mean, immediately, we're talking about, you know, court decisions regarding any potential contested election results.
Yeah.
And that's foreshadowed directly by the Wisconsin decision that we got yesterday that we talked about earlier, the one where the Supreme Court decided that, you know, any ballots that were mailed before Election Day but are received after Election Day in Wisconsin won't be counted.
Mm-hmm.
It's disenfranchising voters.
Yeah.
You know?
Under the thinnest of pretexts right? Because like what they were saying, they're saying it's a state's right thing, right? Because states are the ones who have the authority to administer elections as they see fit. And Democrats were looking for an extension under extraordinary circumstances. And Republicans were like, no, we're not changing it. And the Supreme Court was like, well, states have the right to do that. But what the Supreme Court is essentially saying, right? They're doing two things. One, they're trying to minimize the power of the federal government, right? By doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And two, what they're also basically saying is that when you compare the importance of states' ability to administer elections and voting rights,
right,
that the former is more important.
That the states' rights are more important
and
than the voting rights.
And that is wild to me.
It is wild to me, too. It is. Well, and they're, you know, immediately we are facing the, you know, the decision last night the suits that the Republican Party has been bringing against states who are trying to give themselves more time to count ballots and give voters more options to vote safely in the middle of a pandemic, mm-hmm. you know, Republican Party has been bringing suits left and right to limit all those things because they don't want more people voting. The Trump administration is bringing, you know, the campaign rather is bringing those same kinds of suits. You know, they really are setting up a circumstance where they really would like for there to be contestable results in multiple states
yep.
that they can take to the courts. And eventually, if those cases get to the Supreme Court, we now have a 6-3 conservative majority that will very likely... Most
a 6-3 conservative majority with two hacks.
Right.
Well, that's the thing too.
You know what I mean?
It's not like they're all like it's not like they're six like Justice Alitos or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, he's conservative as hell, but I also trust that he's a reasonable human being. And sometimes in clutch situations, he actually rules on the side of reason.
And the hacks great. You're talking about are Kavanaugh and Barrett.
Yeah, absolutely. Barrett is just she's by all reports incredibly smart, like really, really, really smart. She's just unseasoned is all. She's just never, she's not qualified for the job.
Well, and also
she's incredibly partisan.
Partisan, and Kavanaugh is too. And yeah. his the opinion he wrote today in, concurring opinion
yeah.
with that Wisconsin decision was just baldly partisan.
Political.
It was not
judicial, it was political, which is yeah. really, really disturbing. And also, it was on the merits, factually inaccurate.
Yeah.
He cited as a main part of his supporting argument mm-hmm. this article that was written by this professor
right.
person studying this,
yeah.
and he misunderstood what the guy right. was saying. The guy was being interviewed on CNN today like, no, that's the opposite of what I said. See here where it says this.
Right. So, I mean, the consequences of Barrett being on the court are immediately dire
yep.
with regard to the election. Semi-immediately,
they're here in the AFCA in like a week,
yep,
2 weeks.
There's healthcare yep. on the chopping block in the near to soon future. You know, like
there's already cases escalating.
Marriage equality, women's bodily autonomy, further slashes to voting rights.
Yep.
And then really, we're just off to white Christian nationalist authoritarian regime ruled by the ultra wealthy and by corporations, and democracy is gone. Like, that's really the course that we're on.
Yeah.
And so, like, to be scared about this and to feel anxious and worried, it's legit.
It's not unreasonable.
It's not unreasonable. And it's it really is a 5-alarm fire.
Yeah.
For not just, you know, if it's a 5-alarm fire for human rights, for civil rights, for democracy, and really for the planet, because these are folks who don't give a crap about climate change.
No.
So, like, just...
Well, because, again, it's anti-corporate agenda.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, it really is something to be legitimately concerned about. But here's the thing. Here's where this whole conversation turns for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need a conversation turning sound?
Sure. Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
Please.
Okay. So, people, here's where the conversation turns. That's like the least appropriate conversation turning sound ever.
Yeah. It's
That's
kind
really
of a
more
turn
of a resolution
for the worse.
Sound. Yeah.
Oh.
Hold on.
That's kind of a but wait sound.
This is
maybe.
Good.
Yeah, it's good.
This is where the conversation turns, people.
So says Count Jameson.
Yeah. Count Jamie
so
Hill.
So here's the thing.
We'll be back in a minute on Nick.
All of these ways that we've just been talking about how, like, it's just raw power grab after raw power grab. And, you know, and it seems like almost careless, right? Like, the rushing through of this justice before the election without doing corona, like, they've got to know that there's going to be blowback. But they also, I believe, were motivated to do all this so quickly and so brazenly because they understand just how much their time is running out. You
yeah.
know, it's really tempting to view the Supreme Court stuff as just a paralyzing defeat at the hands of this relentlessly cruel and unchecked power.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really not a show of strength.
No.
I mean, they're trying to make it a show of strength. Right? They're trying to do that abuser thing.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's really,
it's
showing...
It is abusive.
It is. You're right.
Yeah.
But it's really showing, I believe, how weak they are and how quickly they know that they're running out of time. Because their ideas are super unpopular.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that.
Because they're bad.
They're bad ideas. The public doesn't support the ideas.
Turns out that, like, the unchecked corporate reign is very, very unpopular.
It really is.
Yeah.
People actually really do like social safety nets.
Yes.
And
the New Deal remains popular.
Yeah. It really does. You know, the only move they have left is to suppress the vote.
Yep.
And to
contest the election.
Contest the election, seize power by any means necessary.
They're trying to steal the election, people. You know this.
And so, I mean, and that's scary, right? But yep. it's like, keep in mind that this is not, that they're not doing this from a place of strength. They're doing this from a place of being the last kicks of a dying animal that knows it's dying.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's more like a cornered animal, honestly.
Okay.
Like that's when an animal is the most dangerous, right? When it feels like it has no way out.
Yeah.
Like that's when you're going to get bit. It's like when you have a dog in a corner.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of the same thing.
But, you know, they're terrified of all of us showing up to participate in democracy.
Oh, for sure.
They're terrified of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know that they will lose badly. So that gives us power. That gives us an opportunity. You know, we don't have to accept this fate, right? We don't have to just be like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do now? The Supreme Court is 6-3 and like all the, any good legislation that gets passed, even in a new administration, is going to just be overturned, blah, 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 blah. Okay, like spend a moment there and then move past that to what can we do about it, right? Because, and the first thing is we have to win next week. That's just the bottom line.
And not just win, but overwhelmingly.
It has to be a landslide.
Yeah. It has to be uncontestable.
So make sure you have already voted. And if you haven't, drop that thing off in person.
Yep.
If you can.
Yep. And like really, tell everybody you know.
Yeah.
I know this sounds trite, but it's really true. Like this message needs to be ricocheting around this country this week.
I think it is, but we got to keep it up. We have got to keep foot on the gas until, what is the thing you say about when they teach you how to punch?
Oh, yeah, right. So when they teach you how to punch, like you don't aim for somebody's face. You aim for a space, you know, 12 inches, but you aim for a place 12 inches behind their face, right?
Really follow through.
Yeah. So when you hit the face, you have full velocity because you're aiming at that spot a foot further.
Right.
That's
what we got to do.
That's what we got to do.
Exactly. I
aim
love
for
it.
For 12 inches behind the face.
We're aiming for 12 inches beyond November 3rd. And here's the thing. The fight's not going to end November 3rd. Like even whether Dems win or lose, next Tuesday, the fight doesn't end. Obviously, if we lose, then it's an even more uphill battle than we are facing right at this moment.
Yeah.
So let's not spend too much time, you know, on the what if of that. Let's just assume we do win. The fight is gonna continue even if we win. We've got to continue. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be short. It will require all of us to show up in the ways that we can.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people have been getting involved in volunteering for this election who've never done this before. I know so many people personally who've literally never been involved in any kind of campaign work ever before. And they're doing phone banking and they're doing text banking and they've done the postcard writing and they've gotten involved. And look, if we want to keep this democracy, we're going to have to keep up, maybe not this level of like frenetic pace that we've been at, you know, but we're all going to need to stay involved. We don't get to just like, well, brushing my hands off until the next 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, this is a sustained effort.
Yeah. Especially, and you don't have to like, Shannon and I are not going to volunteer 40 hours a week.
No.
On an ongoing basis. And we don't mean that. We
exactly.
don't mean that you have to do the full court press,
right.
12 inches beyond the face thing that we're currently doing for the next 6 days, right? It's just that like you can't back off to zero. Like
right.
if everybody just did 2 hours a week on a sustained basis. I mean, think about that. How many people are volunteering right now? Probably 10 million or something, right?
Right.
Think about if we had 20 million hours of effort a week going toward democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Holy
mm-hmm.
shit.
Educating yourself on what kind of bills are coming up before Congress. What, you know, calling your congresspeople and senators to support legislation that you support. You know, like we're going to have a lot of work to do to rebuild so much of what has been destroyed by this bull in the China shop the last 4 years. And before that too, with the Republican Party. I mean, they've just destroyed things left and right for so long. We've got a lot to repair.
Yeah.
And it's going to require us. Like we don't just get to sit, you know, the danger is like in democracy, if we stop being engaged, the folks who want it more will take it back.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't have to give up our power like that. So we're going to need to stay engaged, you know, and there are some practical things I think that we need to start thinking about that we want a new administration and a new Congress to do for us.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically expansion of the court.
Yeah.
We're going to use that word expansion of the court.
Yeah.
There's another word that people have been using and we're not going to use that word
anymore
because
it's
not.
Cynical.
It is.
Yeah.
we're going to expand the court. And here's the thing. That is not a controversial idea. Even though the media like to frame it as being a controversial idea,
they like
it's not.
To make everything sound controversial because that's how they sell clicks.
It is constitutional, first of all, and it is appropriate for this moment for us to expand the court because we've got a situation, as we talked about in depth earlier, where we've got a court that is...
It doesn't reflect the country that it's ruling over.
Exactly. Yeah. Another thing that we need to press our new administration and Congress to do is broad voting rights legislation to end voter suppression and gerrymandering.
Yeah. There's already a Voting Rights Act passed in the House.
Yep.
Let's just frickin' send it to the Senate.
The John Lewis Voting Rights Act.
Yep.
That needs to be passed, one of the first things.
Yeah.
We also need a massive anti-corruption legislation, pro-democracy, anti-corruption. Elizabeth Warren had an amazing plan for this.
Yes.
And I think actually part of that has already been at least introduced. I'm not sure. But like, we need to just get money out of politics. Corporations should not be able to pour billions of dollars of dark money into campaigns to elect people who will appoint people like Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
You know, they ought not have that kind of influence over our democracy. It is ours, not theirs.
Yeah.
You know, so money out of politics. These are laws that we can pass.
Yep.
That a new Congress can pass, and we can actually make part of how we do things around here.
Yeah.
And then we just need to have them pass laws that actually help people.
Yeah.
Healthcare, minimum wage increase, student debt relief.
Yeah.
We need to tax the bejesus out of the ultra wealthy.
Yeah.
And corporations, and use that revenue to actually invest in the 99% of the rest of us and actually make people's lives better. Because when people's lives are better, they are less apt to be sucked into this divisive stuff that the people currently in power need for us to be divided in order to maintain power.
Yeah.
You know? You think of it like, I'm thinking of it like going back to a sort of like abuser mentality or abuser example.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about, you know, an abuser at the head of the household, right? Like it serves the abuser to get the other people in the household that they're abusing to fight each other.
Yeah, right.
That's exactly what's been happening to us. And we need to end it. Mm-hmm. But we need to actually pass laws that help people in a way that make them less prone to being sucked into that divisive stuff.
Yeah.
Because if they're doing okay, they're not going to feel the need as much to point the finger at, you know,
black people.
People
Mexicans.
Who are different than they are.
Yeah.
And we can all do so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem isn't gay marriage. The problem is you need health care.
Exactly. Right? You'd be less pissed off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So we've got this week coming up, and there's a lot at stake, and there's a lot that we're all processing and a lot that we're all dealing with. I know I am, and I know that every single day this week is going to be
a decade long.
Well, it's going to be every day is going to be an exercise in choosing my mindset.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought
that sounded so EST seminar.
What's EST?
Wasn't that seminar thing like in the 70s? It was like the first new agey, but really big, like Tony Robbins or whatever.
I don't know.
Where everyone got in an auditorium and learned how to be better versions of themselves.
Okay, well, we're going to do that then, I guess.
Was it called S? Was it called EST?
I have no idea.
I'm not old enough to actually remember it. I just remember hearing about it.
It was
that super California woo-woo, like, you know, come to my seminar and you'll be a better person.
I lived in California. I've never heard of it. But maybe, but I'm a whole 2 years younger than you, so
it's
maybe
different.
That's
It's very different, yeah.
Anyway.
Is that what generational divide means?
Let's talk about how we're going to approach our mindset this next week.
And okay.
There are two things I want to start off with.
Wait, I need a good mindset sound.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Let's try this one. No, that's not good. How about this one? No. 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 No.
I can't
Dang, lots
imagine.
Of laughter.
I can't imagine
that's a good
it's
mindset
gonna be
sound.
Okay, fine.
It's
Here's
spooky.
The thing. Here's the thing. It is easy to allow ourselves to wallow in despair or fear.
Yeah.
For what ifs of an unwritten future. And here's the thing, guys.
I clicked the longest.
You
sound.
Did. I'm so sorry. Yeah. The future isn't written yet, and it's easy to buy into the fear and the despair of the what-ifs of that unwritten future. Okay?
Indeed, they want you to do that.
yep, that is what they're counting on us doing. But there are two quotes here I want to read.
Encouragement quotes.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
From encouraging people. Great. One of these are...
Do you want me to read one and you read one? Do you want to read both?
Sure. One of our Misfit Stars, Katie, actually posted this in the Misfit Stars group this week, and it was really just appropriate. I'll read the first one, you get the second one, okay?
Great.
This is Austin Channing Brown. She's a writer and a racial justice activist. And this was the end of a Twitter thread that she wrote this week. And she says, "We don't endure the same levels of discrimination that our ancestors did." And she's referring to Black people facing such uphill battle to vote over the decades that they've been allowed to do that in some form. She says, we don't endure the same levels of discrimination our ancestors did, but we do stand in their legacy going to the polls, knowing that there are real hurdles we have to face. We know, and we go anyway, because sometimes hope isn't what we feel, it's what we do.
Yeah.
We embody hope.
And that's right. Hope is an action.
It is. You know, there are massive hurdles ahead of us. We've just talked about all of them or a lot of them anyway. We know those and we show up anyway because we embody hope by showing up. And I just felt so encouraged by that.
I love it.
And you can read the second one here.
I can. And this one's from Liz, Senator Elizabeth Warren. And here's what she has to say. She says, "These fights are hard and they can feel hopeless. But remember that hope isn't given to us. It's created by us. So we can't give in. We can't back down. That's what they want. Tonight, I urge you to dig a little deeper, to stay in the fight, because our democracy depends on it."
It was very heartily delivered.
I was really trying to channel Liz.
You did.
I wanted to read in a way that if she called us again and was like, "Hey, I saw the thing you did," she'd be proud.
Yeah, she'd be proud. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We create hope. And I that's just, it's encouraging to me. We have to just keep at it. You know, so what are we going to focus on? What are you going to focus your mind on this week, Jamie?
I'm freaking head down with Team Early Vote.
Yeah.
And that's it. Honestly, I'm going to clear away the stuff that I cannot control, which is every goddamn thing. And I'm going to focus with a laser-like intensity on the one thing that I can control, which is getting poll observers there to protect this vote in Wisconsin.
High five.
It's the little thing that I have chosen to do, that you have also chosen to do.
Yep.
And I'm going to focus on it with an unparalleled intensity, and I'm just going to clear space in my life for that.
Good.
And I'm also, you know, going to try to clear space in my own heart for the result that I want too.
Yes. Well, so that's the next two things I wanted to mention. I was thinking about this last night. I was going to sleep. We've talked a lot about this album that we put out this year, "And Her Whisper Becomes a Storm," and so and I know within our Misfit Stars group, we've talked a lot about that, and how people have sort of like adopted these ideas of doing the next right thing into their own lives.
Yeah.
Like, can we use the framework of that of that idea of the getting still and listening for what's true. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe spend some time this week listening for what's true, reaffirming maybe what you know is true and right and the kind of world that you want to live in.
Get still, people. Listen, wait until you hear that little voice inside you. You know, that little voice that each of us has that tells us when something is really true. Wait until you hear that.
You know,
let that guide you.
And maybe those ideas, you know, are ways in which you envision this world that we're making together, you know, like the qualities of this world that we're making together. And even if they seem really far off in terms of their attainability, listen to that, what's true. And then figure out what is one thing that you can do to walk toward that today. You know, like maybe use that framework just as a spiritual practice of sorts, you know, of just like sitting with the ideas that are true and right, and then figuring out in a very just still and systematic way what your intention is and what your first step is, and then recognizing when you see people joining you on the path. Like, let's just like spend some time with these ideas in our lives, in our thoughts, and maybe use that as a tool to recenter ourselves. And I think what you mentioned a minute ago is to harness the power of our imagination.
Yeah, right.
In terms of like, just imagine the outcome we want to see. Like, let's spend some time imagining whenever the election results are finalized. Because it probably won't happen on election night.
No.
I don't know that it will.
No.
But whenever it happens, just imagine the outcome that you want to see. Spend some time really just like celebrating that.
Like visualize it. Like yes. Make a specific visual for yourself. Where will you be sitting? What are you wearing? What have you had for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does it feel?
And that's a vulnerable thing to do. I understand that because what our brains want to tell us is, oh, it's scary to hope for something that you can't, you know, fully control the outcome of. And so
right. What
I'm going to do instead is hedge my bets and worry and not get my hopes too high up because I don't want to be disappointed. Right. Yeah. That's what our brains want us to do. Let's flip that on its head and let's just go there and do the vulnerable thing of imagining the thing that we want to see. What could it hurt, right? Like, imagine us all imagining that together. Yeah.
Energy is real.
I can't believe that won't be helpful in some way.
Yeah.
It certainly will affect the way, if I spend time imagining that, it will certainly affect the way that I approach other people in my conversations. I will not be instilling fear and worry as much in my conversations with people as I will be inspiring movement and forward motion and hope.
Yeah.
In my conversation, in small ways. But this stuff matters. It ripples out from every single one of us. So use your imagination, harness that, and start indulging yourself in imagining the outcome that we want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Envisioning something happening is literally the first step to that thing happening.
Yep.
And it can't happen without it.
It's true.
Yeah.
And there's this thing going around on social media last night after Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation.
Which, by the way, can we just pause for a second and just touch briefly upon how dark that imagery was?
Oh, yes.
They did it at night.
Oh, yeah.
They did. It looked almost like pagan in a weird way.
Sinister.
So, yeah, it was very off-putting and odd.
Yeah.
That's all I want to say about that.
There was this thing going around social media as apropos of that last night and just, you know, the brazenness of this, like, power grab that we've been spending so much time talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of let these actions of theirs radicalize you.
Yeah.
Become radicalized.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not even sure what I know what that means for myself at this point.
It's certainly a very foreign concept, people, for Shannon, because Shannon is at least in the first version of her that I met, if there were a word that were the opposite of radical, it would be Shannon. You know? Because, like, the place that you come from in your life is much more of, like, don't want to rock the boat, rule follower, people pleaser. And I don't mean that you currently are that, but that's in your past.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
But you know what?
And the idea of you being radicalized is like,
Here's the thing.
If Shannon can get radicalized people, you can too.
The boat needs rocking.
Yeah.
It just does. And so whatever that means for you in your life, how are you going to become radicalized? Let's think about that.
Yeah.
And that is all I have to say. And it was a lot. And I appreciate you sticking around this entire time to listen to all this.
Yeah, people, thank you.
Just kind of ridiculous.
And I want you to know, actually, sweetheart, that this really came in at a very reasonable episode length.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Good. No, super good. We're right in that sweet 75-minute spot.
Oh, I feel good about
that. Slightly long, but not inappropriately so. Oh. Really meaty and good. I think you did great. Up top.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You all, I really, really does mean a lot that you spent your time listening to us today. And you know, if you're in the Misfit Stars group, thank you, first of all. And secondly, we would love to hear your thoughts about what you heard today.
Let's have a discussion.
If you've got some additional things to add, pop it in the group, start a good discussion. We would love to see you there doing that. If you're not yet part of the Misfit Stars group, we would love to have you.
We want you in there. We need you.
And
in
here's
there.
How you do it. You go to misfitstars.com/join mm-hmm. and you join.
Join. Yeah.
That's how you do it.
That's it.
We will invite you to the Facebook group. We will get you all the goodies that come along with becoming a Misfit Star. And
so, you know what? Somebody broke some new ground in the Misfit Stars group this week.
Oh, yeah?
There was the first ever instance of someone gifting a Misfit Stars membership to a friend.
I love that.
She reached
so
out
much.
To us. She said, can I do that? And first of all, Patreon doesn't have this functionality and also have a blog post on their support site saying that they specifically do not have this in their roadmap, which is like, that's dumb. So
this ought to
note.
Be a feature, but we worked it out. And so are you trying to say that if someone wants to gift somebody else a subscription to Misfit Stars or a
you can do it. Message me.
Awesome.
We'll hook you up.
We can do that.
Yep.
Anything else?
No, but you know, people, this next number of days here, this next like 6 days, they're going to be fraught. They're going to be tense. And what comes after the election might be really intense also, you know? I'm not saying this because I want you to worry or because I'm trying to get you amped up. It's quite the opposite. I just want us to all recognize that we're just going to be going into a little bit of an intense time here, and also that that's okay, and that we're going to make it out the other side. Like, you're going to be okay. If you're listening to this and you're feeling worried, just know that you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
We just have to do the work.
Yep.
So just get yourself settled in your heart and get yourself committed to doing as much of the work that you can do on an ongoing basis, you know? That whole 2 hours a week thing really feels real to me. If everyone who's really feeling amped up right now, not just listening to this podcast, not just in our community, but in America at large, if, I mean, how many of those people are there? There's gotta be millions and millions and millions. And if all of us could do, hell, 1 hour a week, but let's say two, right? That's a good goal. Because, you know, you dick around for the first 15 minutes and you cut out early. We'll get a good hour. We'll definitely get a good hour out of you if you do, if you try for two, right? If we all did 2 hours a week on an ongoing basis, we could change the world.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what that work is.
Nope.
Because we don't have, you know, right now we've got specific activities.
That's
like
right.
I'm just get looking, out the vote.
Really, but I'm just trying to get people, it's what you call a pre-commit.
Okay.
I would like people to make a pre-commitment in your mind. And I don't know what this is for right now, but just put a pin in the idea that, like, on an ongoing basis after the dust has settled from this election, we can all together figure out how we can distribute those 2 hours a week, and we can make a real plan to, like, do that. Because if all of us do that, we're going to have, we're going to live in the place that looks like the place we want to live in.
Yeah.
And that would feel great to me.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's an idea. Think about that, people.
Cool. Do you have any more Halloween sounds you want to offer? It's your last chance, really, because Halloween's coming Saturday.
You know, I do want to end on kind of a hopeful, spooky sound, but I'm happy to let it kind of ride out over the outro. So maybe we should just say our goodbyes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You all, thank you so much for hanging out.
Yeah.
Take good care of yourselves.
Yeah, we love you guys very much. And seriously, do take good care of yourselves. It's going to be a rough week, but we're going to get through it.
We are. See you soon.
See ya.
Happy Halloween!